I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH Boston. Ever since Osama bin Laden left his native Saudi Arabia for Afghanistan, Saudi authorities have worried about this scenario. Young Saudis who leave to fight a jihad become radicalized somewhere else and then return to wage war against their rulers back home. That's why a few years ago, the kingdom created a system of so-called terrorist rehab centers designed to re-educate the young Saudis when they come home. But the concern hasn't gone away. It's estimated that some 1,200 Saudi men have left their country to fight in Syria. Reporter Ben Gilbert visited one of the rehab centers and has this report.
The Prince Mohammed bin Nayef Counseling and Care Center is located on the dusty outskirts of the Saudi capital, Riyadh. Currently, it's housed in a walled compound that used to be a holiday resort. The compound is divided. One side is administrative and still looks like a resort with palm trees and pools. The other side looks more like a prison. Interior Ministry official Colonel Omar Zalal al-Khatani walks down a long hall. At the end, two guards sit next to the steel door that divides the two sides.
So that's the door between the administrative side and the...
Go see the side.
The guards unlock the door to reveal what looks like a prison yard, but there are no guard towers, and the walls could easily be scaled. Colonel Khatani says the center is somewhere between a prison and freedom. The 14 men undergoing treatment here are referred to as beneficiaries, not prisoners or even patients.
But at the same time, they watch him. Sure. If they see anything wrong, you know, he could go back to prison. Huh? This is a rehab center. It's like, you know, another word, it's a examining center, you know. They want to make sure that, you know, these people, you know, could live with a society.
In the yard, a half dozen plainclothes police officers, guards, greet us. Nearby, six of the current Saudi beneficiaries linger inside and at the door to a classroom. Their beards are long and bushy, and they wear the short tunic favored by puritanical Salafist Islamists. All appear to be in their 20s or 30s, and one of them sports brand new neon Nikes. They're waiting for their teacher to arrive. The teacher is a short, bespectacled, U.S.-trained criminal psychologist named Nasser al-Arifi. His lecture today is an example of the program's focus on using a mixture of Western therapy and Islamic teachings to cure the young men.
Today we're going to focus on how they control their anger. And this is very important for them. And, you know, we use just the psychology's theories beside what comes in Quran and also what the Prophet Muhammad says about controlling the anger.
The rehab center is named after the Saudi Interior Minister, Prince Mohammed bin Nayef, who has championed the rehabilitation approach to combat what the staff here calls extremist tendencies among some Saudis. More than 3,000 men have graduated from the rehab center since it first started in 2008. Their offenses vary widely. Some fought in Afghanistan or Iraq, or were plotting against the Saudi state or one of its allies. Some were basically picked up for hanging out with the wrong crowd, like Badr al-Azianzi. He's a tall, shy, and skinny 28-year-old Saudi man who speaks softly. But almost 2 years ago, he was arrested and imprisoned for his extremist tendencies. When I was arrested, I had ideas against my country, the government, and also non-Muslims, Badr says. I was also thinking about going for jihad. I had relationships with people who were suspicious, and so this worried the security agencies, and they arrested me. Badr says he was upset by what he saw the American military doing in Afghanistan and Iraq against his Muslim brothers. But when the police arrested him, he hadn't actually done anything wrong. He was just picking up his passport from a government office. I had bad thoughts and ideology, Badr says. I was arrested in advance to prevent me from doing anything wrong. But if I weren't caught at that time, maybe I'd be in Syria right now, or dead. Badr is one of the men who successfully completed the rehab program. He says the beneficiaries learn three key points. I've learned in this center that there are some conditions for jihad, he says. The first condition is that we should be under one flag, one leader. The second is that we should have permission from that leader. And third is that our parents must approve our going on jihad. I didn't have any of these three. In other words, Badr's impression was that holy war is okay just so long as it's approved by the Saudi king. This would seem to be good news for the United States, since Saudi Arabia is an ally. But it does give some analysts pause. Saeed Wahas is one of the architects of the rehab program. I asked the professor of political science and medicine if drawing the line between good and bad jihad is enough to stop people who think they are fulfilling God's will.
Unfortunately, those people are going to interpret the verses of Quran according to the way they are thinking. For example, they would like to go directly to the paradise. You know, the life is very distressing. It's not easy. When I'm going just to die just 5 minutes through the process of death, and I'm going to be on the paradise, I will do it soon without any problems.
Money, a job, and family also help to convince the beneficiaries here that life can be good without jihad. As for Badr, he's been released and lives with his wife and 4 children. The government gave him $25,000 to open a shop. He says he'll never go back to jihad unless, of course, he can meet those 3 conditions for jihad that he learned at the rehab center. For The World, I'm Ben Gilbert.